Mike Lenore with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Infections like polio, smallpox, and measles used to be as common as coronaviruses today. But now we have life-saving vaccines for those and other diseases. Sadly, too many children still go unvaccinated. Choosing to delay or refuse vaccine puts your child and other children at serious risk. So talk to your child's doctor today about vaccines. And for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Hey everybody, this is Peter, and it is time for the New and Newer Music Show. I play new music for you every Sunday night from 9 to 10, and I'm really excited this week because I'm playing all of my favorite tracks from 2025. I always love these shows. It's just so much fun just blasting this music here in the station, and hopefully you're blasting it out there as well. So let's start off with, go hard. Just going to start off with my favorite song of 2025, and this song just rocks. And I love just, especially in the summer, in the fall, rolling down my windows and just blasting it. It's Wet Leg, Catch These Fists.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
You are listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.
I was drinking some kind of powdered orange juice. She's a housewife, and her husband's with the night shift at the plant for 30 years. They got a nice little trailer in a nice little court, and a poodle they love like a child they never had. They go to the VFW club on Friday night. She gets a sludge in fence and some fries from the kitchen. Tips the waitress 50 cents. Has her hair done the same way that she has for 30 years. Some say life's useless, it's born, it's dull. But she's happy, she's satisfied, and nearly every day she cries when she remembers the day that Elvis died. She doesn't covet what she doesn't have. She paints ceramics and bowls twice a month. She goes dancing with her husband when I can, or to the wrestling matches at the local arena. Some say her life's useless, it's fun, it's dull. But she's happy, she's satisfied, and nearly every day she cries when she remembers the day that Elvis died. She doesn't color what she doesn't have. Cause she's happy, she's happy, she's happy. Oh, Randy. Some say her life's useless, dull. But she's happy, she's satisfied, and nearly every day she cries when she remembers the day that Elvis died. She doesn't covet what she doesn't have, cause she's happy, she's happy, she's happy. And nearly every day she cries when she remembers the day.
Rodeo here. 88.3 FM, WRCT, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
On this useless night, with you so far away, I stand in front of this Ferris wheel, and I wonder, what am I doing here? And I wonder, what am I doing here? And all the drunks just stumble by, we'll be right back.
keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself.
all make choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad. Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are listening to Is Sound a Language on WRCT Pittsburgh, produced by the students in Contextual Practice Seminar. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily express those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
All right, so today our guest is Simona Körner. I was going to ask you to teach me how to pronounce your name correctly.
You met it pretty well.
Okay. Yes. So we met on the first day of grad school. And we became fast friends, and I wanted to invite Simona because we met up this past weekend in Princeton at a conference called Fantasies of the People, and Nick was also there, and because of that opportunity of you coming to this country, Simona and Nick came from Germany. I thought it would be really nice to be able to spend some time together and then for Simona to be able to share their performance practice and the work they've been doing recently with field recordings with you all. One of the things that I feel really connected with you about with your practice is how research-based it is. And with research, it expands beyond reading. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of research that is about connecting with people. It's very embodied. And in your performance work, you talk about this, right? And you enact it. And I wanted you to come and be able to share that with us.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
So interesting because maybe I just... We already talked about that in the car a bit, that I have the feeling I was, like, so in a kind of way anxious to come here and talk about my practice because so much changed in the last weeks, like, politically. Mm-hmm. And not just because of, like, telling or speaking out mm-hmm. about political things, but also because I have the feeling my artistic practice needs to necessarily change through that, or I have to like regain it, and like it's like broken apart in pieces, and now I have to like somehow pick them up again and see how to deal with them or with the forms which are somehow not so applicable anymore. At some points, I mean, at other points, yes. But so I'm really curious about speaking with you today, and also a bit like loaded. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So maybe I brought some materials. Yeah. Like I thought it would be nice because I see my artistic practice very much implicated in like the practice of many others. In your practice, that's why we maybe found us on the mm-hmm. first day, but also like historically embedded, like in a network at some point. I brought like a recording of Louis Schulte Sukai, from whom you maybe already heard, like the presentation, the video. I don't know. I shared a text, mm-hmm. a video of Louis, who was a scholar at my. Like, who was a visiting artist scholar at my university in Nuremberg, ADBK Nuremberg, and from whom I learned, like, a lot about sound and perception. And I found it interesting already in our entering round now, like, that it's even not so clear what to talk about when we talk about sound, that it, like, so fast goes to music, that it somehow draws back to the self. You came with recording techniques, and this somehow already reveals so much about the horizon one grew up in without even talking about identity. Mm-hmm. You don't need to talk about where one specifically comes from, and it tells a lot about class, gender, implicatedness when you talk about how you listen or how you sound and how you perceive this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Luis, I brought two texts. One by Nisha Ramaya. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Maybe you
can help. Nisha Ramaya.
Which is one of my favorite poets at the moment, who writes in this book, which is called States of the Body Produced by Love, through reoriginating herself again and again in different forms of narration and through the Sanskrit language as a very sounding language, as language which takes like sound in itself very serious, or like which is implicated much more than like in European or Western languages, where we do not think a lot about like how a word is like in and of itself perceived through its sound. And here we have like a language which I cannot speak, but which she tries to mediate through, which she taught she herself in through reading a colonial book about it, like a colonial lexicon, and she tries to deal with that abstraction of her own life, with that violence, her relation to gain that language as a sound practice. And I
also like,
sure, please, you can watch through everything of this. I brought Simone Weil, The Iliad or the Poem of Force. These two things will also be very present in the text I read, and maybe it's a good, like, giving a short introduction to it is a good thing, because it's like, then you maybe can deal better with a very abstract text I wrote. Simone Weil was an organized anti-fascist and Christian mystic, which is like a crazy combination, in like during the Nazi regime in France. And she was like, this text she wrote in 1940 and shortly after the fall of France. So it's really directly connecting with fascism, with the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. And she's looking at the Iliad as like the Greece Urmythos, like as the epic, also as one Urmythos of like our lives. And she goes through force as like actually the hero or the main protagonist, instead of like Iliad or Homer or whoever is in all this history embedded. And she really tries to make clear how force operates on our lives, and like through a very layered history. And I thought this is like also connecting to sound a lot, because we with sound we deal like with energy and with like matter moving, stuff like that. Yeah. I brought some stuff from different places, from which also the sounds I will share with you, field recordings, originated, so that you maybe also have like a bit of a material relation to the places. This is like from my forest at the hinterland. I don't know if we burn it, because it's, but you can like give it around and smell a bit of it.
What is it?
It's the resin from a tree. From,
yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Fichte. Sorry, my English, I don't know. Yeah. And I also brought like two microphones, which a partner of mine, a like collaborator, very close friend, partner, developed, which are electromagnetic microphones, with which I did also record a lot, and with which we can play a bit, like listening to our smartphones, for example. Mm. To a bit gain a feeling of different recording techniques, and how actually these recording techniques can guide us through space, for example, and make like our perception can be like a technological perception of our body. And guide us in moving through space differently, for example. Yeah, and these are like two things with which you can play them like an instrument because they're just basically magnets embedded in them.
So one thought we had was to play some of this recording. Yeah. So Simona brought this album, which is from Louis Shude Soke, and it's the...
Was blurred, especially given that audience responses were expected and incorporated into the soundscape along with a native obsession with reverb. These effects would begin to define the music, particularly that subgenre of reggae that would become central to my listening, my writing, my research, and my recording. This obsession with echo and reverb clearly spoke to subcultural need. There was something there about the joys of exploring technology via sound, but also about redefining and claiming space. Something about self-expansion and duplication. Echo suggested so much about space and the manipulation of sound and memory and, of course, sounds. It was because of this shared obsession that I eventually named my overall recording and sonic project Echo Nikusha, the language of space. As a young listener in Jamaica and in the Caribbean immigrant communities in America and England,
The sounds are like from recordings on ground,
right?
And I don't know if Louis has spoken in the words on ground. I can imagine it would make sense, but I don't know that.
Right. Okay.
Like the other side of the LP is really like I think then the singular artists and what they have done. For example, a Kurdish person has been there, who has been voicing in the place very much, and I think it's really according to. You can really see that these sound practices differ from different, like, cultural needs. Mm-hmm. Also how these persons, it made sense that this Kurdish person engages with voice in that space, for example, others with, like, a synthesizer. Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting, I don't know, like, how much you already talked about the history of recording techniques, for example, but that, like, one of the first uses before, like, there was radio as a transmitting system, and, like, shortly after the microphone was invented, like, one of the first things was in Europe to put, like, telephone lines from the theaters to households. Mm-hmm. So first it was just the king, but King Louis, I think it was, like, Son and Queen. And then it was like a thing that it went into many private households, and you could like have an abonnement, pay like 2-3 euros or whatever, to be able to have like a direct connection to the theater. So live transmitting was one of the first questions that immediately arrived with like having microphones on a larger scale.
For listening to the film, just the audio of the film.
just the audio of the theater play,
yeah,
even before film, you know. And one of the interesting effects has been that the audience is like as loudly transmitted as the, as the theater, because these microphones were not very sensitive. So this must have been like, there are written things about the experience of listeners of that time who also enjoyed that a lot, actually. Because also theater rooms haven't been as silent as ours right now. That came just with Wagner, this audience relation that you should be silent in a theater.
Did the sound come?
So they would also, people would also gather for doing this together. Like when one person had this telephone, like there are like a lot
and
of pictures. And it's like a very female thing also. That they would gather as like 5 to 10 persons and sit there on their couches. I mean, obviously,
very
Bildungsbürgertum,
domestic,
like bourgeois. But,
ladies of leisure.
Yeah, exactly. To be on track, what's the new theater piece without going there?
I'm interested in, like, knowing, you were earlier talking about how sound recording was a part of colonial regimes. I wonder how, like, video and image and documentation for sure, painting, all of that, but sound recording, in what ways do you think? Is that super interesting to hear?
So I also know it just from Louis, so I'm voice recording, actually. Voice and ritual recording was a lot of, like, ritual music, rhythm recording. It was just like the producing the colonial archive in a large scale. I think this went through all media which have been invented at that time. And Louis also said, like, when he was there, that it was always like when black people started to use, for example, recording techniques, especially with their voice, there was like a huge fear around that, because it was always about the fear of the object striking back, like the colonial subject, which was the object, striking back. And that there's this relation in language that as soon as, like, colonized people have reached in the colonial frame some state of personhood, white people would try to claim the same state of personhood for a technology, which is insane, because the object relation always changes when the slave or the colonized tries to get out of it. It's crazy, how our language shapes around technology, and also how we talk about AI today, something what Louis says is like so related to basically using the same language we had with slavery. And connected with the same affect and fears and just as a brief introduction, I would like, I have two prints of this text I'm going to read after the listening session. It's a bit like, get yourself in a comfortable position. It's like a bit of a thing. It's field recordings I made in the last year. And especially connecting like infrastructures, which I became interested in, which surround like our lives. Through like energy systems, like wind power plants, the electricity transforming thing, like rural education or uneducation, vernacular terms, not very directly, but I don't know, just like relax, try to listen with your whole body. We also realized that the sound really activates the room. Try to listen to the room and what the sound does to this room. So we transport like different spaces in this room. strahlen, to beam radiate, und rauschen, to noise, rush. Begin with sleep. Touch your limbs, feel their skin, but not as yours. Color will come back to the world when you eat, she said. My fingers. I leave out the words now, which shouldn't be in the script, but you can read them. Collapse on me like I love you, but reversed. Sleeping. Through the window, white church tower bright against doom sky. Strahlt in meine Augen. Your eyes hurt from all the scrolling in the night. Thumbs up for someone. Her voice harmonizing with the air siren in Ukraine went viral. And IRL, the same sound sirens simultaneously into my bedroom. German E57, 101 decibels on 30 meters. She singing to the possibility of her immediate death in real time. And IRL the same sound siren simultaneously into my bedroom. German E57, 101 decibels on 30 meters, a call for firefighters. Death on the highway. Begin with two sirens. Shh. Who has a bird is split horizontally in two halves. Human torso, lower body, bird. She who captivates the eye, haunting voice. She who creates the persuasive act, sweet speech. And we know all things that come to pass upon the fruitful earth begin with his body tied down to the masts of the ship, a phallic gesture indeed, fearing the siren's call. His listening has to be repressive. Protect me from what I want, Lol, or face disorientation, cry. To the point of no return, between Greek islands, sharp cliffs. What happens when a space between two things collapses? The poet wonders, the lover explores, the artist needs death as a limit. But you realize that war wants death as horizon, each to everyone, on repeat, try and survive the fucking peace. Begin with sitting in your kitchen. They said the thought of eating came to her when she was tired of tears. White calendar against blue wall, titled Abolition is a Love Language, tells me to begin with March 30, 2018. Great March of Return. Peaceful protests at Gaza border every Friday, 1.5 year, the call for return forms the need to arrive. To be able to move or to move back does not address the past. One can be forcibly displaced, but one cannot be forced to disconnect to what happens when the space between two things collapses. Like I love you. And you can call me Province. My pronouns are a hyper-regional act. She, pulsating borders against my skin. Middle class. I feel heterosexual. But when I say heterosexuality, know that I mean the erotics of imbalance. Heterosexuals don't have closets. They just leave their shit strewn about the room, all on display. Hey, I'm speaking to you. Can you address me? A world that seems irreparably out of reach, the poet asks. And you obviously say no. And remember when you read this sentence. We are dispossessed by the knowledge of each other's address. Or it's disorienting to know where you are. By Nisha Ramaya. In a meadow, a field polluted, you are polluted, we pollution, and you polluting, looted, looting, a parody of betrayal. Tinnitus. Can you separate sensation from imagination? Begin with a place where time does not hurt, or put your body where your mouth is. Thirst cased down at the edge of her lips. We sleep in a real estate office, spooning and snuggling, simply because it keeps us warm and evacuated from our own fantasy.
Having grown up in this musical household, my dad was a cellist for the Philadelphia Opera Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get free tickets for these daytime shows during the week that were part of an education program for the city schools, the public schools in the city, where they would bring kids into the spaces to watch the dress rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew, like, my dad was part of the performance and I could be back in the green room and, like, goofing off
mm-hmm.
after the show, I could also hear all of the performers react to how the kids were behaving in the space,
mm-hmm.
which was so boisterous, and there was talking and there was hooting and hollering and real reactions to funny things that happened, or, like, you know, of course, in tragic opera there's lots of stuff that happens.
Yeah.
But the kids would react in these, like, visceral, loud, boisterous ways, and the people who were performing in the opera loved it. They were their favorite performances because they were actually getting something from, like, the call and response, right, that we, you know, sort of were listening to at the beginning. Like,
WRCT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense.